Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. When I talk today, I build on what I began yesterday with the reflection on some of the themes from the Sermon on the Mount and the teaching of Jesus in the early part of Matthew's Gospel in particular. The Sermon on the Mount is that really the core and the center of Jesus' teaching for his disciples about how to live out the great commandment, how to follow Jesus and to live the life he lived, how to live in the kingdom, how to express the new covenant, the relationship that we have with God, and the excellence that's presented there. The teaching of Jesus, you know, begins with the Beatitudes, which is almost a description of the person of Christ. You know, it's interesting on the Ten Commandments, which really the Beatitudes are the perfection and the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. And Moses, of course, was, you know, went up the mountain of Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments on tablets from God, and he came down from the mountain. Jesus is on the mountain. He's seated like a rabbi who's ready to teach and teach his disciples. And he's going up high on the mountain to teach because what he's doing is he's teaching the perfection, the highest thing we need to know as disciples of Jesus, how we're meant to live. And sitting right in front of them, and if we imagine ourselves in a kind of the spirit of Lectio Divina, placing ourselves on the Mount of Beatitudes there at the feet of Jesus with other disciples, and we're looking at him, what we're looking at is the perfection of the law. We're looking at the Lord himself, our King, who embodies everything that the law communicates. He embodies it perfectly. There is love. There is truth. That's Jesus. And all the things that are described in the Beatitudes that we'll maybe touch on later in the week. And so what Matthew gives us is this core teaching. And again, the core of it, the purpose of it, is to unfold what it looks like and what it means for us to be able to live out the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, therein lies for us, friends, the fundamental purpose and goal of our life, the definition of success. To the degree that we can understand it, it's perfection. That's what it looks like. It's not in the acquisition of things. It's not in the acquisition of power or influence or fame or money or possessions, or popularity, fame, all the rest of it, which the world is constantly telling us these are the things that matter, day and night, all day long. And they become idols. They become the definition of success. And it gets into us. It gets into our mind and our spirit and our imagination. And we start to have anxiety when we're not achieving and acquiring those things, when we're not being recognized in the way the world defines, you know, what true recognition is. And the hidden things, the things that our King Jesus is telling us are at the very core, in the center of what human perfection and human fulfillment and success looks like ultimately, the eternal perspective that Jesus lives for. You know, Jesus lived the will of the Father, the commandments of the Father were Jesus's very food. Think about, just for a minute, friends, how radical that is in our contemporary culture. Jesus said he couldn't live without it. He hungered and thirsted every day to know the will of the Father. And his great joy and his fundamental purpose in his existence now, the one who had all wisdom and understanding and light about the meaning of human life and where true success and fulfillment could be found, he said, it's to love, and it's to love God first. It's to love in right order. So to love God first, and to love in a way that God defines love. And that definition came in the person of Jesus, and he's here to say, I'm literally here to show you. I'm not just telling you. Watch me. Follow me. I'll show you what real love looks like, and I'll show you what the fulfillment of the commandment looks like, which is the way for you. It's the way to happiness and fulfillment for you. Isn't that interesting? How radical Jesus is. He centers and he focuses on one thing. You know, lots of people write books these days and motivational speakers talk about being focused on the one thing. You know, what's the one most important thing you need to do to be successful? And some of that wisdom is good. It's practical. You know, like stay focused. You know, if you make phones, make phones. If you make cars, you know, all that sort of thing. Make sure you're aligning your resources, your time and your energy toward the actual goal for which you're working. Now, that's good wisdom on a secondary or tertiary level of your life. But the big question is that how you actually live out on the center stage of your life? Is that what you're doing with the thing that matters most? That's what Jesus did. That's why Jesus' life was so radical. And he made clear to the apostles that the distinction, the life he was going to live, the life they were going to live following him, was going to cost them. And we can see it even in our own society, our own culture today, just how radically different Jesus' fundamental operating principle is. It's obedience. It's obedience to commandments. And it's obedience to the commandments of God, who has total rule and authority and total claim over our lives. So just that edifice of understanding right there, just those few ideas, are so radically different than our culture. Obedience? Obedience? Nobody wants to obey anybody. I mean, I'll listen to you if you're going to pay me enough, something like that, or it's to my great advantage, but obedience is almost like a bad word. It's taking away my radical autonomy to define myself and to be my own master. You know, if I'm going to be happy, I have to be my own master. I can't be a servant of another. I can't live in obedience to God. And to obey what? Commandments? Someone's going to command me on how I'm supposed to live? I mean, the spirit of the age, the zeitgeist, you might say, the whole flavor of the culture is to say, we have this unspoken and sometimes spoken agreement that, yeah, I want happiness. It's again, the contrast. Here you've got the Beatitudes. Blessed are you. You will be happy if. You are happy if these things are happening in your life, Jesus will say. If you're poor in spirit, if you mourn, if you're meek, even in this world, you can experience the blessed life, the blessedness. But it's not only here, but Jesus is talking about eternity, of inheriting the kingdom and the rest of it, seeing reality at its greatest foundation and the widest scope of understanding who you are and where you're headed in your life, and therefore what ultimately really matters. So Jesus is saying, this is the way. Obedience, obedience to commandments, and the commandment is from someone. It's from a lawgiver. It's from your Father in heaven, who gives you his commandments because he loves you. But the culture is saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Obedience, commandments, someone who is telling me what to do? I can't be happy or live what I would call the blessed life. They wouldn't use that terminology. But to find happiness, if I'm not radically free. And radical freedom means I am absolutely and totally in charge of my life. I am the designer. I'm the definer. I'm the one who decides on what's true and what's good and what's beautiful. No one's going to tell me that. I am it. I'm the source of it. That's the big lie in our culture today. And it's all over the place. And guess where it came from? It comes from the pit. It comes from Satan. It's the devil himself. I mean, we've all bought and been seduced by those lies. I have. I've gone down rabbit trails that in my life that have led to pain and destruction and sin. I have in my life bought the lies at different times, and the idols that are present in the culture, the pressure to conform and to align yourself with, in essence, what everybody else is worshiping or what large segments of society are now worshiping. And the temptation, the seduction is very, very strong. And it's kind of bizarre that we as disciples would be surprised by that. Because Jesus did everything he could, and so did the apostles, to say, don't be surprised by that. As Father Henri de Lubac once said, I read one of his books at one point years ago, he said, you know, a disciple should never be surprised when the world acts worldly. That the world is not interested in God's perspective. It's not interested in aligning itself with the kingdom and to come under the rule of the king. So I think one of the things we have to do to be able to walk out the Sermon on the Mount is to get back to the basics as disciples and take on the mind of a disciple. Friends, our minds are more dirtied and muddied and confused by the world. There's more fog in our heads than we realize. It's not just in our minds, it's in our wills and our imagination, our emotions, our feelings, to just go along, get along, and the voice and the drive of the culture that's defining if you want to be successful, if you want to be somebody, if you want to gain power in this world, if you want to be the master of your own destiny, these are the things you have to put first. These are the things you have to do. These are the things you have to make room for in your life and fill your life with. And so we take it in because, as Jesus said at the end of, I was mentioning yesterday in Matthew 6, he said, don't be anxious. Don't be fearful about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Your Heavenly Father knows you need these things. He's going to help you get those things. But don't let your fear and anxiety of not having dominate your mind and your heart in such a way that you're filled with anxiety and you lose focus. And you get filled with fear and anxiety and you're not walking by the Spirit. You end up walking in the flesh. Jesus said, the flesh is useless. The flesh cannot produce what you need. The flesh is that fallen dimension of our existence that's filled with worry and pride and self-will and inordinate self-love and all kinds of things that Scripture talks about, right, that are in the human heart. And if I step outside the truth of knowing that I'm a child of God and walking in the peace that comes from living in the Spirit and the Spirit helping us trust the Father, and as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, you know, we've been given a Spirit that cries out in us, Abba, Father, the Spirit that bears witness to our spirit that we're not slaves, that we're not lost, that we're not on our own, that we're not the master of our own destiny, we're not the creator of our own meaning. God is. And that God is trustworthy, that God is good, that God is loving, he's kind, he's patient, he's merciful, and he's super powerful. And his Son has made it possible for us to inherit and come into his life. That's the truth. That's what the Lord seeks to communicate to us through this teaching on the Sermon on the Mount and the pathway and the means he puts before us and how we live it out. So keeping first things first, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And loving your neighbor as yourself, there's the centerpiece. That's where he's leading you. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. It's about what does that commandment look like? What do those great commandments look like? How can I live it out? And Jesus basically sits down to teach it, and then he says, come with me. Let me disciple you. Let me work this in you. Come to me, and through my Spirit, we will subdue the powers of the flesh in you, in your mind, in your will, your emotions, your imagination. We'll bring them in right order, and you'll have peace. And that peace and confidence that comes in the Father will begin to lay hold of your heart. And then you'll have the strength, you'll have the clarity and the wisdom to understand what it means to put first things first and to walk it out. Let's entrust our lives to Jesus wholeheartedly, friends, and walk out that great commandment. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.